Podcast on Digital Life every Sunday from 11 a.m. to 12 noon, only on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Let's talk.
And we're back like we never left. Welcome to Digital Life on Night.
You left for 1 week. Which one is here?
I never left.
Okay, go ahead.
We didn't leave. We were here. All the wow. You know, we're just preparing that.
Okay. Go ahead.
Welcome to Digital Life on 99.3 Nigeria Info. Digital Life is Nigeria's number one premium tech show on the radio.
Deserves some shakere.
My name is Emmanuel Onwuka, and as always, I do this with Yvonne Ohaifo. I don't want to, let me just let it be. Next Sunday, I'm going to do it very well because she's the one giving me all the ginger today. So next Sunday is my turn to give her the ginger.
First of all, Emmanuel, you have to tell me why you are clad in suits.
Well,
Lagos, you should see this young man looking looking like a snack, like, you know, peperempe. He's just looking very fresh. Emmanuel. He's clad in blue and white, looking like an ambassador.
Thank you.
Emmanuel, why you've not told me why you are clad in suit?
Well, I just felt like today is Sunday.
So me now that came dressed in black and Lagos. Emmanuel, you did not give me the memo. I didn't get the memo.
Next Sunday is your day.
Anyway, Lagos, my name is Yvonne Okhaifo. You already, I've been here since 8 o'clock. So if you're not used to my name already, I don't know what you are used to. Anyway, we come in peace.
We come in peace because last time
was violent.
Premium. No, it was not just violent. It was premium violent.
By the way, Lagos, if you missed that conversation, head over to Digital Life on Nigeria Info. Just go on Google, type Digital Life Nigeria Info. You'll get the conversation. It was hot. Especially the last few minutes of the show.
Like the last 10 minutes of the show, we had like the whole show was in that last 10 minutes.
Saloboa.
My God.
I said in my heart, I was like, Jesus Christ, what is all this? But it was hot in the studio.
All the information that we've been seeking, you know, to understand about Bitcoin, what it's all about, you know, it was dropped on that 10 minutes was everything. It was a very great time we had on that
show. Especially when he said, every other coin is a trash coin. I said, Baba, calm down. Are you trying to say that those of us mining pie and, you know, trading Ethereum and other coins who are dealing in trash cryptocurrency?
I can still imagine your face.
Like, my heart sank. My heart sank when Koshemani said it.
You dedicated like a whole lot of time just doing
trash
that.
Coin. They are trash. This is how it was. They are trash coins. In fact, and the only coin that is good is Bitcoin. Yes, because I said, Baba, what is all this? Koshemani, I've not forgiven you. No.
We'll bring Olu back because I still want like some of that violence. I love the way the voice went up and the tempo just went from 0 to 100.
What do you mean? It went to 1,000. Like it just broke it and just went fume up. Anyway, today we have another conversation centered on cryptocurrencies because when Koshemani last Sunday called every other cryptocurrency trash, we said no.
Call them
justice
out.
Justice for the other coins. Justice for the other coins. So today on the show, we have someone to talk about the other coins as an advocate.
Advocate for the other coins.
And of course, we have a segment on the show called Tech of the Week, where we introduce you to new and exciting indigenous technologies.
That one will come to you on the second segment of the show. For this first segment, we have the spokesperson of the other coins joining us right here.
Not spokesperson. Does not even do just advocate. A campaigner. Okay,
so there are thousands of cryptocurrencies and which can be very, very confusing, but we bring you like a list of the top five. We have Bitcoin, which is known as BTC, we have Ethereum, you know, we have Tether, we have US dollar coin and Binance coin, and you know, there are a whole lot of them.
And nowhere in this do I see Pi. Why?
No, don't worry. Koshemani did not send me. I'm not part of his league of advocates.
Maybe that's why you're clad in suits today, Emmanuel. You want to see
No. This suit is shield for any bands that will come today.
Okay. All right.
So we have here with us in the studio Etienne Ukeke. Did I pronounce it well?
Etienne. Right?
Etienne. Is it Etienne or Etienne?
Etienne.
How can you say Etienne?
wait now. I'm using my Aquibom side of it to pronounce the name. So yeah, we have Etienne Okeke. He's a visiting lecturer at the African Blockchain Institute, Rwanda, and he joins us live in the studio to analyze this and tell us the truth about this issue that we looked at. We've talked about Bitcoin versus the other cryptocurrencies. So what is the truth, you know, concerning Bitcoin and the other cryptocurrencies?
Mr. Okeke sounds like a headmaster. So I'm not going to use Mr. Okeke. I'm going to use Etienne. I prefer that. Mr. Okeke just sounds like my village headmaster.
Don't do that.
No, but
allow
seriously
him.
Now.
It's just lecturer like, Okeke. Please.
No, that's even worse. Because lecturer Okeke sounds like that lecturer that likes to, hey, you come here. Come here, yes. You think you can pass my course just like that? So we are going to stick with Etienne. Etienne, thank you so much for joining us on the show this morning. You've heard our banter about the violent guest we had. Koshemani, what's his full name again?
Oluwasegun. Yes.
Koshemani. Yeah. We had him last week. And boy, did he bring down the roof. He just trashed other coins. Like they belong to...
We didn't see it coming.
He trashed other coins like they belong to the pit of hell. That only Bitcoin was the savior of...
Of the world. Of the world. Like we were there. We didn't get the memo.
We did not get the memo, I swear. Etienne, you're going to speak directly into your mic. You can even adjust it to, however exactly you can that's much better.
So
the question now is, what are... Emmanuel, ask this question. I'm still pained.
Yeah, still.
I've still not gotten over what happened last Sunday. So please ask.
So let's.
After all, you are clad in suits. Go ahead.
What's this now?
Go ahead.
Okay, so we need to clarify. Does other cryptocurrencies not have the same capabilities as Bitcoin? You know,
are they truly trash coins?
Are they really trash coins? Like they were set, that was said on the show last week. Are they really trash coins?
So, Emmanuel and Yvonne, thank you for inviting me. It has been fun. Like the past 10 minutes has just been crazy laughter. So you guys are really catching fun.
Yeah, that's what we do on the show.
I think I would like to come around more often.
Great. They would love to have you.
Yeah, so happy Sunday to everybody listening. Once again, my name is Etienne, Etienne. So I work with Africa Blockchain Institute in Rwanda.
Okay.
So we do a lot of things around Africa, blockchain education and all that. So I've been in this space for about since 2015, 2016. So we have seen several cycles of the bull and bear market in cryptocurrencies and all that. So, but right, let me just jump into your question. The truth is that when you look at the total market capitalization of cryptocurrency, you see that Bitcoin has about 45-60%, depending on where it is on the cycle.
Oh, really?
On its economic cycle, right? So that means that Bitcoin has a lot to play or a lot to say or a lot to control when you talk about cryptocurrency and its market capitalization. The fact for certain is that there's a technology that exists, and that technology is the blockchain, and the technology has been proven to work. And the number one way it has been proven to work is by Bitcoin. When you look at Bitcoin, you see that technology works and it exists, right? But to a large extent, a lot of other cryptocurrencies are like, they don't... How will I put it?
Like, are you trying to say they are trash coins, but you want to beautify the language?
Not really that they're trash coins. I'm just telling you the truth of what it is in the market, right?
Okay.
It's not really that some of them are trash coins, but some of them are still very, very, heavily tested, right? The technology is still young, about 11, 12 years, right? A whole lot has not been developed. A whole lot is still under development. It seems like a lot is under experiment and all that. But Bitcoin itself has a lot deviated from that experimental realm, the pure experimental realm, if I may put
so,
it like
so
that.
So it's like solidified.
Yeah, it's more solidified. It's not like it's as matured as current financial markets of bonds, equities, fixed income, all those kind of things, right? But it's crazy, it's different, and it's just so much unique that Some people are still very speculative about it. Some people are still very skeptical about it. People with very low risk appetites kind of stay off and all that. So when the other coins you mentioned, like Theta, that is USD, BNB, Binance coin, Ethereum and all that. They're also very good. I wouldn't say those are trash coins. But you can't compare their stability or their maturity to like Bitcoin. Like Bitcoin is still like the like say gabata bata if I have to sound informal, right? But that doesn't mean that they're trash. They just mean that they're a lot more experimental. For example, Bitcoin has 21 million pieces, right? 21 million coins. When you talk about Bitcoin, you can further denominate it into Satoshis or some other fractions. If you talk about Ethereum, you can do the same thing. But let's say 21 million Bitcoins exist. So they have it that when you go to a mine, a gold mine, you can find probably 21 million tons or 21 tons, something like that. I can't clearly place that. So that was how some people say that was why Satoshi made it 21 million, because it's almost seen like every mine has this amount of gold in it.
So when you say mine, I've always wondered about this process of mining. Do you mean like a mine where you go like
an actual gold mine?
An actual gold mine, or
yes.
Is there like a physical mine?
What I mean in this example when I say mine is like the actual gold mine, where you get the tractors, the hard picks, the shovels, breaking into the rocks.
Mm-hmm. But it's not physical.
No. I need to understand. So are you trying
the other mining you are trying to talk about, which is the mining of Bitcoin, right? Is the mining of using machineries, using some fast computers.
Okay.
So the mining I was referring to is the actual mining of gold. When you go to a gold mine, right, people say that it's about 21 million, isn't 21 million tons or something. So it's just like a legend, what people, a standard, what people we usually see and say that, okay, this is actually a mining site that is profitable.
Okay.
So yeah, many of these guys, or we believe that Satoshi has a lot of background in economics, and he's also a very core gold person, someone that understands the gold economy and all that. So
okay, so let's get it. Ethereum came to Nigerian space. It became very popular in Nigeria during the lockdown. Okay,
yeah.
Very popular. Everybody I knew was getting into it. Now, it's like the second largest cryptocurrency out there, you know?
Yeah.
Fighting Bitcoin back to back, okay?
Yeah.
Now, last week on the show, we had somebody say that Ethereum down to all the rest. This second largest too, still place it under the trash coin.
Yeah.
And asked a very serious question. What is Ethereum backed on?
Okay, so that was why I started telling you about the 21 million pieces of Bitcoin itself. So I'd like to clean a little bit what you said. It's not like Ethereum is fighting Bitcoin. It's not like they're competing, right? They're market forces. And when you play your game right, you don't try to compete with the market forces. You just play your game right and the market will just take you to somewhere. We have seen projects, we have seen coins that are very, very good, solid projects, but they died, right? So the market just plays with who he wants to play with. You really can't.
So
back to his question, right? Bitcoin, you can say Bitcoin is backed by several things, but specifically you can talk about the electric power that it consumes, right? I think statistics had it at some point that it consumes as much power as Norway.
Wow.
As a country.
As a whole country.
Yes. But when you look at Ethereum also consumes its own power, but it's not as crazy as Bitcoin. That is one. But in both of them, you will find one thing. One thing you will find is the community. right? There is a community of people listening to Nigerian Info. There's a community of people who fan La Liga or Premier League. This community of people spread across the world, right? Like, so there are always communities at everything we do. YouTube, social media, you find a lot of people following you on Twitter and mm-hmm. all that. So these are communities we keep building. We live in our villages, we live in communities,
right?
Your family is a community, all those kind of things. So Ethereum has its own community, so that is also part of what backs some of these coins, the activities that is happening. Then you also have you can refer to that as a social consensus, right? When you have the algorithmic consensus. Sorry, I'm kind of sounding
please,
technical.
You know, algorithmic. It sounds like a tongue twister.
Algorithmic.
It's a tongue algorithm.
So you have proof of work, right? And you have proof of stake.
Okay.
Proof of work is like you going to a mining site with the hapics and all that, with the bulldozers to get the gold from the site, right? So but when you take it to the blockchain, proof of work is like running those fast computers to actually get to actually verify transactions. In the process of these verifying transactions, more Bitcoin is being issued as reward. And also the transactions you verify, you get some fees paid back. The same thing happens also on Ethereum currently, right? There are also some fast machines that you are running, it's consuming electricity, and you get some Ethereum rewarded. And you also, for the transactions you have verified, you get some fees for having verified those.
Okay.
Right? So we will say in the very simplest way that what's backing Bitcoin is similar to what is backing Ethereum. But because people kind of feel that, or people have that sense that Bitcoin has moved away so much from being a mere experiment, right? But people like Ethereum are still, a whole lot is being developed on Ethereum. Like next month, Ethereum should be switching to proof of stake, which is another crazy experiment that trying to run, starting up the Beacon chain last year. And some money was, I don't know, let me just get into the details of it. So, but it's also very exciting what's happened on Ethereum. There's a lot of value on Ethereum, right? So the Ethereum coin itself might have, let's say, 18% market share, or probably 20% market share, as the case may be, right?
Okay.
But we see a lot of tokens and coins that have also been built on top of Ethereum, right? We see a lot of projects that are also top 50, top 100, the value in billions of dollars. But these are all values that are existing on top of the Ethereum network.
Etienne, let's backtrack a bit. Yeah. I'd like to take you back to something that you said when Emmanuel asked about these other coins. You said that sometimes the market just, you know, does what the market does. That you've seen some coins come up, you know, almost do well for a while and then just die like that. Takes me back to what the guest last Sunday said. He said that for Bitcoin, that the blockchain is so brilliant that no one person can come and monopolize it and take control of it, and then, you know, sort of do what happens with the dollar or the naira, you know, that it is so that no one person can manipulate it. Yeah. That the person who formulated that cryptocurrency knew what he was doing. But that for other currencies, they can be manipulated. They can be, that one evil person can just say, for you, no, I'm going to make sure that you don't make it. You know, and then just manipulate Ethereum. So according to this fellow, Ethereum is easily manipulated. So somebody can just wake up. For instance, this thing that Elon Musk did with one of the coins, was it Ethereum?
Dogecoin,
yes. You know, when he just announced, said something about it, everybody, that's the new rave. But all of a sudden, I think he pulled out or so, and everybody just said, So I think, let's talk about that trend. Because if we say that, you know, some of these coins are still the technology, they're still being worked on and stuff, which I understand, why then are people able to manipulate, you know, these communities, so to speak, such that if a powerful billionaire comes up and says, you know what, let's say for instance that this fellow now, Koshe Mane, the guy who was on the show last Sunday, let's say he was one powerful billionaire and said all other coins are trash. So that's how all of those other coins would have just died. Why so, is that?
So there are some people who are just watching portfolio companies held by Berkshire Hathaway, for example, like company of Warren Buffett, right? So if they see that, that company buying stock somewhere, they begin to buy. They don't even want to know why the company is buying or selling, right? So that's also reflected in the cryptocurrency. You see people who buy just because somebody influential said so. But what I will tell you is that it has become so much, it has reduced so much, right? In 2017, like as little as having this conversation on this radio could spike a coin. Like somebody's tweet, just one tweet of, not, you don't even need to be as big as one quarter of Elon Musk, right? Just let me say a governor in Nigeria or something. You can just tweet and let's say you have like 100k followers on Twitter. Just a tweet about a coin could spike that coin. So you have the fundamental analysis, you have the technical analysis, and it looks like the fundamental analysis, like when you listen to news, watch tweets and all those kind of news, it helps spike coins, and people tend to. So it's something that happens on all domains, but because of the way crypto is, crypto it's accessible all over the world, right? There's no regulation like trying to reduce you per se, your activity on it. So it's, you can easily put in liquidity and move liquidity around.
Right.
Now, the guy who puts this liquidity and moves it, the main guy, the main person, these guys trading their billions or whatever, right? A lot of them use bots. A lot of them do it manually. And they are not really interested in a couple of things. They're not interested if projects work. He's more interested in making money. Yeah, he's interested in making money. So when you tweet about a coin, when Elon Musk tweets about a coin and it looks like the coin makes sense or it doesn't make sense, all what his analysis see is that, okay, Elon Musk has tweeted this coin. It looks like it's moving. He does his technical analysis, draws some lines on his chart, then his bots begin to buy. Right, let's say this guy is moving with like $5 billion, so he's moving with like $2 billion, right? You can't place that trade manually. There's a bot that buys that trade for him, right? So when the bot begins to buy, retail people can see that, oh, this guy is buying, the price is going up. Like, people really don't know why the price is going up. People begin to see that, okay, the price is going up, the retail people jump in with their $100, $50, $1,000, $2,000. This guy is buying chunk, right? Then as he's buying, his friends bought, because he's not the only one coming into the market. His friends bought, and some other automated systems are seeing the moves, making the analysis, and they're hopping in. So it's not really because the coin makes sense, but because he has made this analysis and said that, okay, this is moving, right? Retail market many a times don't have that that pressure to move market, especially now that the market is like, the market is at 1.3 trillion recently. So earlier this year, ending of last year, was like 2.2 trillion. We're in a bear market right now. So it's kind of, some of those guys are like pulling out of the market because the analysis tell them to do so. Right. So, but sometimes they see hop into some individual coins and they run with it, you know, just to make that extra money and stuff like that. So these are several things that are happening. It's you can be lucky as a retail guy, you hop into Dogecoin very early, then you see that, okay, this has moved, then you cash out. There's this thing you always say, cash out.
Yeah,
you cash out. But you can also be unlucky, and the time you are entering is when they are getting the analysis that they should exit, and they will just use you as exit liquidity. So,
look, man, I think that's one reason a lot of people are skeptical about trading crypto, because my life savings now, I'll go and put it inside one of them, and then it is now me that someone's son or daughter is using. What did you call the term again? As liquidity. ATM. I rebuke that.
So the thing is that there's a difference. You need to understand what you want to do or what you are doing, right? There's a difference between a trader and an investor, right? If you are investing, it's a different set of analysis. If you're a trader, it's a different set of analysis, right? So back to your question, also, just a little bit, just touching your question a little bit again.
Right.
So some coins also have very low capitalization that some people can come in and play with it, right? So imagine you go to a Ajah Market or you go to Oshodi and you are buying Gari, and let's say the Gari valuation, the market capitalization of Gari in Oshodi market is like, let's say $1 million, that is like 500 million naira or 600 million naira. Like an average guy, an average businessman in Ikoyi or somewhere in Banana Island has $1 million. Right? So he can go to Oshodi and play around with the price the way he want. But for places like Bitcoin, if the total market capitalization of all the coins is at 1.3 billion and Bitcoin is at 50% of it, that means Bitcoin is at, let's say, 750 billion.
Right.
Like, sorry, 1.3 trillion, I mean.
Right.
So Bitcoin is at 750 billion. It's difficult to see someone that can come around with, let's say, 100 billion to mess things around, right? You don't want that money. Somebody might be at the other side just waiting for you to deposit the 100
billion. So that I can.
So you, when you want to come there, you'll be coming there with like 10 million,
yes,
20 million just to test the market and plan. So it won't really affect.
So we're going to play. Stable. We're going to play an excerpt from the hot conversation we had, last Sunday,
okay,
and then you can give your reply to that.
Exactly.
Conversation.
I guess that will give you a better understanding of what you faced last Sunday.
Okay.
And
cool.
Then after that, we'll ask you about the e-naira as a Nigerian. Oh. You're a Nigerian, aren't you?
Yeah.
Good.
What is some of all these cryptocurrencies backed by? What is the e-naira backed by? Is it backed by the Naira that is already going through inflation? Naira already has 19% inflation according to the e-Naira, according to the CBN. So what is the e-Naira backed by? Ask, if you earn salary now, if they pay you 100,000 Naira or 200,000 Naira, by the end of the month, your money is worth less than 100,000 Naira because, come on, you know, the goods and services, transportation, everything keeps going up. So in January, if you had kept 1 million Naira in the bank, you kept 1 million Naira in the bank in January 2009, right? I had nothing. I had just $1. I bought Bitcoins, right? And my Bitcoin was practically worth nothing. Today, your 1 million Naira will be worth less than 15,000 Naira in the bank. Month on month inflation since 2009, and my $1 worth of Bitcoin would have worth $23,000. Who and who have succeeded? The growth trajectory of Bitcoin in the last 10 years is upwardness. Forget about the volatility. Volatility is vitality. No asset has performed better than Bitcoin in the last 10 years. Not Tesla shares, not Microsoft, not Apple, not Amazon. Show me and I will give you 100,000 Naira now, cash. The asset on earth, on this God's universe that has performed better than Bitcoin. I'm not saying Bitcoin is not volatile. If your shop, they will be say you buy goods and services for your shop. People, they come buy things, they come out. They come buy things, they come out. You, they make money. You know the stock, the shop back. Share the shop, going to go lose value. So that's what Favour was trying to tell you.
That's
so
right.
Be very, very careful of the cryptocurrency you buy. And it's not because I'm selling it just Bitcoin. I had listed something else before when I saw their source code, I had to pull out. So Nigerians, be very, very careful. I was born out of poverty. You know, only my mama and I ain't get money. My family get money. I don't know if my papa finesse himself. So I've been there. I've done that. And we want the CBN in there to succeed only if it's interoperable with cryptocurrency.
Now the thing is this: what raises the value for Bitcoin is adoption, right?
Absolutely.
Yes.
Now, if the e-naira is being adopted by everybody, because you, like you said, they've not been able to hit 1 million. So, if it's adopted by everybody, is that not going to raise the value?
What's it backed by?
Raise the value of what?
It's backed by the federal government, isn't it? Shouldn't that give it some value?
The federal government that tells you lies all the time. Why are you guys trying to be obedient? I'm not here to campaign for anybody.
Nobody's campaigning for anybody. Whatever you say is your opinion. But, you know, we can't verify everything you say. You have to understand that. So whatever the CBN tells
you, verify. You can't trust everything I say. Please use the right words. Don't trust me. Verify.
Very good. Now we can't verify it. You're just saying it to us. I don't have the time to start going through all that process of research to verify each and every of your claims.
I know the developers that helped the CBN salvage their problem.
You did mention, let's calm down a bit, and then you said again that The reason Bitcoin has performed the way it has so far is because of adoption.
Not just that. Bitcoin is money. Bitcoin solved the problem of cross-border
settlement. But then again, you said it that how many years ago it was worth just $1?
Yeah, that's because your money's supposed to be Britain. What type of money do you prefer? The one that you put in a bank and as soon as you turn your back, the bank writes a capital letter IOU on it and it starts to experience deductibles.
Great.
All types of charges, stamp duty, cost of transfer. Good money, you know, your money to your SMS chat. Boom. I mean, when you buy Bitcoin, you just buy some binary numbers. I mean, they don't ever move until you spend them. And it is proof of work. I'm not talking about proof of stake. What you have in the bank is proof of stake. The worth of what you have is basically what you're going to get eventually. But then you go through some deductibles, and when it comes out eventually, you know, inflation is going to mess it all up. But once you buy Bitcoin, that value never changes until you spend. You know the value that fluctuates? It's the fiat paper money in pounds, dollar, dirham, CDs, naira that fluctuates against Bitcoin. One Bitcoin is one Bitcoin. Whether you buy a 1 naira Bitcoin or you buy a 100,000 naira Bitcoin, it is one Bitcoin. The value never changes.
Lagos. That's just an excerpt of the conversation. He's even laughing. Etienne, what's your response to that? Did you hear the heat? And everything that he said, especially about the e-naira. What say you, sir?
First and foremost, there is a whole lot that's not really to give out for me to say, right? And if you keep me in this studio for 12 hours, I'll not be able to finish.
Okay, so just summarize everything into 1-2 minutes.
So,
especially in response to the assertions he made.
Yeah. Mm. So, fundamentally, people need to understand that cryptocurrencies, tokens, and blockchain products, is an asset class that is different from the already existing asset class, like the paper money, the fiat, right? So he's kind of mixing things up. You talk about stable coin, you talked about USDT, right? It behaves in a different way because it's attached to fiat, right? E-Naira should behave in a certain way because it's attached to the Naira, the fiat, okay, right? Which is different from Bitcoin itself. That should behave under a different asset class, right? So you don't argue that was the E-Naira backed on, right? E-Naira is backed by CBN. It's issued by CBN under federal law of Nigeria, right? And Bitcoin is not backed by any government per se, but rather is backed by a community of people who are performing this mining, community of people who believe in it, community of people who want to use it. And it gives it a different set of dynamics, right? Of course, the Naira is inflating, and that inflation will reflect in the E-Naira, right? The E-Naira, some people say it's not successful. Actually, I worked with a Nigerian bank as a blockchain developer, as a lead blockchain developer, so I have insight of what's happening at the CBN level. I was supposed to be part of the team that should have built the E-Naira, but due to some reasons, it didn't happen that way. So the E-Naira itself, of course, it's a reflection of the Naira. Whatever you see on the Naira should happen on the E-Naira, right? A friend of mine asked me a question. I already have Naira on my bank app. Is that not a form of electronic Naira? Why do I need E-Naira again? Right? So, that... I don't want to say that E-Naira was a failure. Like, it's not really my thing. I'm not here to say what's successful and what is failure.
Do you think the E-Naira has some prospects? Do you think it has potential?
So,
Your honest opinion, do you think the E-Naira has potential?
So that is why I just gave you guys this question my friend asked me, right? Somebody said that the Naira in my bank account, the Naira on my piggy vest, is an electronic form of Naira. So what is the difference between that Naira and the E-Naira? So why do you have to do another E-Naira again, right? So if you look at it from that perspective, don't quote me anywhere, but I think E-Naira should be a failure.
Okay.
Right? But if you look at it from the perspective of that E-Naira, they are trying to attach some characteristics to it, some borrowed characteristics from crypto, original crypto, into it, so that I can transact with you on a peer-to-peer basis without having to integrate. Like, I don't have to transact with you from my GTB mobile app from my banking mobile app, because the banks
always take a percentage of transactions, right?
Not really. The way the e-naira was designed, there are different levels of users, right? You have the merchant, you have the ordinary users, mm-hmm. you have liquidity providers, you have the CBN itself.
So on top of the e-naira,
wallets. Yeah. So you have the merchant wallet, and then you have the normal wallet that everybody can transaction.
Yeah. But isn't that already cumbersome?
Exactly.
So, Rishi coin.
From what you're saying now is already like corroborating the statement or the statement of Koshemani, you know, on this e-naira. You know, you're already like at pair with him, because at the first point, it sounded like you were disagreeing with his statement, but at the end of the day, you came into, you know, the same line with him, telling us that, see, this thing was not properly, if it's not entirely taken as a cryptocurrency, it's going to fail, because you already said it, that I already have my bank app with me, and I transact already, so it's already an electronic form of the naira, so why do I have to do the other ones?
But then
let's go down to cryptocurrencies. You also heard him call out other cryptocurrencies and stand by Bitcoin, you know, which was the very first thing that we said on this thing. Now one of the things he said last time is that Other cryptocurrencies are not decentralized in the kind of way that Bitcoin is decentralized. So any government can actually take down Ethereum, can take down Tether.
We had that conversation while but to add to what he just said, just so that you can, you know, summarize for us, because we're running out of time. Would you advise people to trade other currencies, to invest in other cryptos?
That's kind of tricky, right?
Or would you? I mean, apart from the Bitcoin, right? Mm-hmm. Do you think other cryptocurrencies actually have potential to succeed that people can trade in or invest in, as opposed to just trading in the Bitcoin?
So
investing in the Bitcoin.
The thing is that we have stayed a while on this crypto blockchain stuff, and we have seen a lot of crazy things, and it almost looks like anything is possible. Now, first and foremost is that Ethereum has one of the largest community in the world.
Okay.
Way above Bitcoin, but just that Bitcoin has more direct investment, because Bitcoin is just Bitcoin. It doesn't do any other thing. So you are holding Bitcoin, right? But in Ethereum, you can mint your own token on top of it. Apart from the Ether itself, you can mint your own token, and that token is going to have some value, right? Many a times, or to a large extent, this value is not reflected on Ether, right? The price you see on the coin market cap is just Ether price. But other tokens that have been minted on top of the Ethereum network that also worth billions and billions of dollars are not reflected in that Ether price. So you can't tell me that Ethereum is just 20% market cap and that is all. I made mention earlier that you have the consensus layer that runs inside the code, and you have the consensus layer, the social consensus layer, where people believe in this coin, people want to use it, and I'm telling you that Ethereum has that largest social consensus in the world, right?
Okay.
So if you put all these things together, you see that Bitcoin is not really a match to Ethereum, right? But because these communities are more fragmented, some people want to hold ABC coin, some people want to hold 123 coin, but they don't want to hold the Ether itself, right? So it looks like you have little bit of different communities, but all these things are existing.
We'll certainly have you back to talk to us more about mining, because we talked about token, but Lagos, let's open the phone line so that you can, you know, we've got 3 minutes to wrap this conversation up and move on to the next segment. So 0700-993-993-993 is the number to call. You can also call us on 01465-7190. 0700-993-993-993-01465-7190. Also, send us messages on WhatsApp 080-959-75805. Emmanuel, do you have messages?
All right, we have messages here. It said, please, what's the difference between crypto coins and tokens as well as gift cards? Is it because this is because we've heard these three often discussed together? So what's the difference between crypto coins, tokens, and gift cards?
Okay, so when the CBN mints money, that money is M0, right? Then when he gives it to the bank, the money becomes M1. Then the bank gives it to you and, I don't know, probably use it to transact in a kiosk or somewhere, right? So that is how money moves. When you talk about Bitcoin, Bitcoin itself on the Bitcoin network, on the Bitcoin blockchain network, it's an M1. Right, Bitcoin doesn't have.
What does M1 mean?
Sorry, M0, not M1.
What does M0 mean?
So that is the initial issuance of money, right? Okay. Money at its primary level of issuance, right?
Okay.
So when you talk about Ethereum, the Ether itself is an M0. It's what the Ethereum network uses to function. But on top of the Ethereum, you can mint your own coin, which can be an M1.
Okay.
So CBN doesn't pay you directly the Naira. He gives it to a bank, then or some other financial institution, hedge funds, whatever, right? Some other liquidity providers, you know, then before he now gets to you somewhere or the other, right? So, but like I said again, the blockchain is just very amazing. It means the Ether directly to you as against what CBN is going to do. And it's giving you the M0.
So where do we have the gift coin? What I'm saying is that,
sorry, before I get to the gift card. So what I'm saying is that cryptocurrency is the fundamental coin which a blockchain operates with.
Okay.
Ether, Binance Coin, BNB, Bitcoin. These are the fundamental coins which that blockchain network operates with, right? Then on top of it, you can mint your own coin. On top of it, that becomes a token. So what I did for the bank, I might not call the name of the bank, I specialize in assets tokenization and collateralization, right? So this studio can be tokenized, this Nigerian Info can be tokenized, this all of these gadgets.
Some sort of like NFT.
So NFT is a type of tokenization, right?
You will come and tell us again, because the tokenization, tokenize, it's just too much.
Yeah.
And I'm like, okay, yeah. Okay.
So gift card is a different technology of its own. It's more like, think about it like MTN recharge card, right? You remember back in the days when we say had paper recharge cards, like it's a 12 digit, I can give it to you, then you load the card. So imagine it now that you can take that 12 digit and go to ShopRite and buy something, or go to Amazon or Jumia and buy something.
So you called it a token, right? Is it on the blockchain, or is it a kind of,
is it gift card?
Yeah.
So majority of the gift cards are not on the blockchain. You can engineer it to be on the blockchain. Yeah, you can.
Let's take just one call because Lagos, if we continue like this, we'll stay here till 12 o'clock.
I swear.
2 o'clock even. Hello.
Hello.
Welcome to the show. Yes.
Yeah, good morning. Good morning, our guest. My name is Samuel from Badagry.
Yeah, good morning, Samuel.
Yeah, you see, E-Naira. E-Naira, I will say, is a failure. Except they should go back and re-engineer it and put it on blockchain. Yeah. Otherwise, my sister, Nafelio, I'm telling you.
All right.
You should put it back on blockchain.
Thank you very much for calling. Wow. So if I wanted to now go and invest in Inara, people have...
So the thing is that, don't worry about investing in Inara, but think about using e-naira, because it's just like using naira.
But what if the e-naira is just a means to trace me to my location?
Yes.
Say for instance, after you said
it's possible.
Oh, wow!
It's not like
that was one of the things Kosemani said last week.
I didn't say that is what they are doing, but I said it's possible.
Because I mean,
right? So imagine now that you live in a society where you go down the shop and you want to buy tissue, and somebody from directly from CBN sees you buying tissue, and the person knocks you off or blocks you from using your money, right? So these things can get to that level where you want to book a flight to go to Abuja and the government doesn't want you to book the flight. So the government won't even waste time to call
DSS,
Airpeace to block you. The government just blocks your wallet.
Okay, so you can't even use it at Airpeace. Except probably you use somebody else's wallet.
So in other words, I cannot even use my own e-naira without the permission of the government.
I don't know what they implemented per se, but I'm telling you that these are possibilities that can be implemented.
What he's trying to say is, if you're listening to us, is that these are possibilities that can happen. It doesn't mean that it is what it is.
Already is.
Okay,
yes.
So these are theories of what this thing can be. Okay, but so, it does not mean that you can't, you know, download and transact with them or anything.
Mm-hmm. It just means that you could potentially become a target.
And that is why they are clamoring for crypto, and they are saying it should go on a decentralized kind of network.
One thing I would like to tell the last speaker, or people like the last speaker, is that stop seeing e-Naira as a competitor to cryptocurrency.
Okay.
E-Naira is an electronic money trying to borrow some characteristics of cryptocurrency, right? Just like US Reserve, right? The US guys, they're kind of not wanting to do a CBDC, right? Which an e-Naira is a CBDC. I don't know. They're just so much to say. If you just keep being here, I don't know. We stay here till 6 o'clock.
Lagos. We've been having a conversation with Etienne Okeke. He is a visiting lecturer at the African Blockchain Institute. Africa Blockchain Institute. And you know, we're having conversations about it. I was expecting fire today because the fire Koshemani brought on the show last week, you know, we're yet to, you know, digest that. So we wanted something matching it. But yeah, you've spoken very strongly about Ethereum and all the other cryptocurrencies, and you've, you know, opened eyes to what this cryptocurrencies are all about. But one thing that I just wanted to do in like 30 seconds is to tell us if you want to go into it, because we heard something like Squidcoin some time ago. It just came up and it just went up in value, you know, due to that because of that
Squid Game
movie. So the thing just came up.
Why are we so easily swayed
like that? And people invested in it, and the next thing, somebody said he invested at $1.5 million, you know, in it. And the next five minutes, everything went to zero. How can you identify this thing? Just 30 seconds. 30 seconds.
So I can't be a financial advisor to anyone. Right. But what I will tell you is that do your research and take out time to learn. Right. Some of us in this space have been playing for a while. But there have been people who were lucky, right? I see a lot of people last 2 years, we were lucky and they made a lot of money. Mm-hmm. You might be lucky like them or you might not be lucky like them. But fundamentally, what I would tell everybody is that it's something to try, it's something to hop into, it's something to learn. But pay attention to the learning curve.
Just to shine your eyes. That's what
it's saying. Spend a lot of time to learn. And also speak to people who know what it entails.
You are one of those people that know. So please give them your hand. How can they reach you? Yes.
Okay. I think the simplest way you can reach me now is on LinkedIn.
Okay.
Just type Etienne Okeke.
Okay.
Etienne, E-T-I-E-N-N-E, then Okeke.
Thank you so much, Etienne, for joining us on the show. But we have to. This young man, we were supposed to have him 2 Sundays ago.
Yeah.
Something happened, we could not.
Yeah.
Last Sunday too, because the conversation was so heated, we could not. This Sunday, you have almost taken so much time now, we are unable to, but we have to have this young man before he starts swearing for us.
No, it's necessary.